So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
It's what we do, and we got great questions lined up all afternoon. Okay? Three more hours of Willie and Dibby. Greg Cosell is going to be on this show. Steve Kerr is going to be on this show. And then we'll be out at the Warrior game tomorrow. Those damn Knicks are in town. And it's JK Day.
Will he still be a Warriors by the time we do the crossover at 148?
Yes. Just a prediction.
I know. And you already set it for next Wednesday as kind of your over-under date. And, man, it sounds like that would be really fast and abrupt, but this thing has been such a long, slow build.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think doesn't the homestand end, I think, next Tuesday?
Is that right?
Is that right, Grandy?
Yeah, they got four more games.
Yeah. The homestand ends next Tuesday. And so this is not like some original thought of mine. There was a lot of talk about whether or not this would be done during the homestand. And most Warrior reporters were like, probably, not definitely, but probably, like, who is motivated to drag this into February?
Right. Nobody. Ooh. And I know they don't fly commercial, but I'm picturing them getting ready to head out on the road trip, and they're handing out plane tickets, and they hand Kuminga his. What? Orlando?
Right.
Wait,
you're flying me to... I didn't know there were flights from the Bay Area to Sacramento. Right, it's right there.
Oh, no, you got a Greyhound ticket,
yeah,
JK. Exactly,
yeah.
Amtrak, Capital Corridor. Nice way to travel.
All right, a lot of y'all want to weigh in. Greg Cosell in about 12 minutes. Matt in San Jose. Hi, buddy. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
So good.
Okay, so there was a few questions that came up from when I got my spot on here. And now the first question you'd ask was about Fred playing. My take is that I think he will play in some form of a snap count, but divisional round of the playoffs is going to be awfully difficult. To answer your question about what the playoff run feels like, I was born in 95. I didn't get a chance to see that Super Bowl. So this run, it feels like house money. It feels like 2010 Giants. It has that feel to it because there's less pressure, because of the injuries, because we've seen a 2023 roster. We don't have that right now. So it just feels different. The question on better chance than last week, I think they do in a sense that Kendrick Swallow and whatever version of Fred Warner you get stop the run more effectively than Tatum Bethune and D. Winters. And Marquise Siegel looked better than Jair, in my personal opinion. But Trent, him being in, that helps the scheme, changes up the one-on-ones, offensive line. The X factor is Ricky Pearsall, though.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays, the safeties have to play a little more true to their assignments, which changes the run defense. And CMC has proven that if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile and lead you to victory. I got the Niners pulling off the upset. The pick is in, Dibs. Kakoosh.
I love it. That's a great use of kakoosh.
Very good.
So you're going
a strong call right there.
Great call. Yep. I mean, money line. If it's if they're plus seven, you're probably getting almost three bills on the money line.
Yeah, you're
so
getting a lot.
Here, that's a strong.
I'll look that up.
That's a strong play right there. And the spread, I think, went as high as 7.5. I see it down now to 7.
Oh, did it come back down?
Yeah.
I haven't been watching.
The wild one is. Buffalo opened 1.5-point favorites. Now they're 1.5-point dogs. That thing has swung 3 points.
That's weird. Yeah,
in the
Denver
other direction.
1.5. Yeah, I do see Niners currently at plus 7, and you're getting plus 285 on the money line.
There you go. He cuckooshed it.
He did cuckoosh
it. That's a nice little piece. You bet 100 to get 285. I know we don't talk gambling on the show. God forbid.
No, of course we do.
But
of course we do.
It's a nice little. It's a nice little piece if they're able to pull it off.
Hmm. Over under 44.5. Which is the second lowest of the weekend. The Houston, New England is 41.5.
The implication, sensation, is a 26-19 Seattle win.
Cha-ching!
If it's 45-7, that's basically what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost feel like when you give the Niners 19, I'm like, I'll take it.
Exactly.
I'll take it. See if we can win this sucker 19-17. How about Manny in the city? Hi, Manny. Thank you for the call.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to offer my perspective on the Niners and the Super Bowl. I was born in 88, so I'm 37 now. And so I was about 6 or 7 last time they won it. And I remember that, you know, I was just a little kid watching at home with the family. And again, with the blowout, I mean, by halftime, I was already playing with my toys. Right. I was like, okay, well, when is this over? And I live a few blocks away from Mission Street where I grew up. So I just vaguely, very faintly, fuzzily remember, you know, the pandemonium and the celebration outside on Mission Street. And I just, it's such a distant memory. And we've been so close so many times. And I remember when we finally broke the SF championship streak and the Giants finally got it in 2010, I just remember how excited and how amazing that was. And I just hadn't seen it for the Niners since I was 7 years old. And it's so fuzzy now. And this run that we're on right now, you know, it would be amazing to have a championship for the Niners because we've been so close so many times. And, you know, 7 years old, that was a long time ago. And it'll be lovely. We could pull it off, but, you know, we'll see.
Manny, how do you think you react in the moment if it were to happen?
In the moment, I think I would probably cry. I think I would probably cry tears of joy because it's been tears of sadness the last 3 trips. So,
I get it.
Yeah.
Manny, thanks. I mean, we're doing all this comparing to 2010 with the Giants, and that's exactly what I did. And I was way older than I was when the Niners used to win championships, and I don't remember crying when they won the Super Bowl as a kid. And I just think it's because you haven't built up the scars.
Yeah.
There isn't the emotion level to it. It's like my kids now, they'd like, you know, they grew up thinking that the Warriors and Giants just win every other year. They're like, oh, cool, it's an odd year. Sweet, Giants championship. Like, this is, so there's no, they're just like, yay. And that's it.
Wasn't
it's
that
just
cool?
Like, yay. But yeah, like the Giants thing in 2010 was it was very emotional. Very emotional. And I think you saw that by the way that parade looked that year on Market Street.
It was crazy.
It was out of control.
Yeah, and I don't do regrets in life, but I had a chance to be on the float at a radio station that carries their games from time to time. And I was in a spot where I wasn't a diehard fan, so I just turned it down. I said, nah. I don't want to be on the float. I'm not one of these orange and black pom-pom guys. I was working with a noted contrarian at the time, and so I didn't want to, you know, I felt like it would have been kind of selling out, but I probably should have been on that one.
Oh, he would have made a lot of fun of you.
Constant fun.
Yeah.
Little did I know how sweet it is to be on a float like that,
man.
Until the Warriors won their second, third, and fourth, and I had a chance to be a part of that.
And then you were.
Yeah, and then in 2012, when the Giants won a second time, I was already... off to the real sports leader.
Transferred.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. You could have yelled out, I'm on a float. You could have done that whole thing.
Oh, that would
have
been great.
You could have done Lonely Island. You could have done your own video up there.
Awesome.
That would have been good. Here, let's go to John in Fremont. Hi, John, what's up?
What's going on, team? How y'all feeling?
Yo, so good.
All right, I love it. I love it. So I've been a Niners fan, you know, lifelong. I'll say this. It's been 15 years of scars for me. I'll bring it back to number 10, Kyle Williams. That name gives me nightmares. Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, and then we have the shit. That's the name of the game. You know what? I got a rat on the table. Somebody call Echo. We are championship losers. We lose the bowl. We lose the big ones.
I hate
Whether
that.
Whether if it's Vernon. Oh, Vernon's wide open. I'm tired of it. I'm faithful. I love my team. But, you know, the pain and the scars are absolutely there. This year, I don't know as much of it feeling different. You know, I hope Fred plays. As far as your question, I say about 75%. But, you know, he wears the green dot. So you would want him there for the full game.
Exactly.
But, you know, really hoping that at some point it comes. You know, I was an eighth grader when the Giants won their first one. Couldn't ditch school for the second one. And then I was a senior for the third one, or maybe a junior. And so I was able to make the parades. But, man, when I tell you, you know, this is my team. So I'm really hoping the Niners are able to get it done. But, yeah, the name of the game is shoulda, woulda, coulda for us. And so I'm hoping things change at some point. But either way, I'll be watching on Sunday.
John, thanks. Yeah, appreciate you. It's so funny, too, because I remember Steve Young telling Colin Kaepernick, like, this was a conversation they had before the Super Bowl against the Ravens. He's like, the Niners don't lose Super Bowls. We don't do that here. And it's literally all they've done since, to the point where there's now a generation of fans that wants to brand them as the opposite
right.
of what maybe some of us grew up watching. Super Bowl chokers, losers?
Doesn't happen.
What?
Not to us.
5-0.
Yep. Quest for 6.
Yeah, 5-0 in a 14-year period. 13-year period. Crazy. All right. Sponsored by Surfside. Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on your Dubs with an ice cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, 0 bubbles. So that makes it very easy to sip and enjoy. It is not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. 888-957-9570. If you're on hold, be patient. We're coming to you, but we're getting Greg Cosell of NFL Films into this conversation next. There is no one on planet Earth who will do a better job of explaining how the 49ers may or may not be able to scheme something up differently in this game against Seattle. So you're going to want to listen, and it's next on Willard and Dibs.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first 2 orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Not bad, guys.
On 95.7 The Game.
I mean, usually we try to come up with something witty and fun to bring. I just kind of want to bring him in. Like, this is, dude, it's playoffs.
It's getting serious now.
Like, this is, I don't want to waste any time.
No.
So, let's not.
No.
River Island's guest line. NFL Films, executive producer, Greg Cosell, every week, right here on Willard and Dibs, the absolute best football breakdown in the world. And then, at the very end, we see if we can twist his arm and make him pick the game.
Mm.
And he never wants to, but then he always does. And I don't even remember, who did you pick last week between the Niners and Eagles? You wouldn't, huh? Yeah, you refused.
Yeah,
you should have picked the Niners, Greg.
I'm sure the game played out exactly the way you thought, didn't it?
Without a doubt.
Had it the whole time, Greg.
Exactly. Yeah. For sure. Yep.
All right. So then let's dive into this, because a lot of Niner fans are now willing to sort of suspend reality because of what happened last week. But a week and a half ago, this matchup was very, very challenging for them, and that was at home, and George Kittle played in it. So,
yeah.
Are there any, like, do you see any spots on film that the Niners can attack better than what they did in that game?
Well, that was one of those games where they were physically handled. I thought that was more the case than just the schematics of it. I thought they were physically handled. Now, it's hard to know whether something like that would happen again or not. You would think not. Which, again, having said that, that doesn't mean that they're going to win the game or they're going to score, you know, 25 points or whatever. But they really had a hard time on both lines. That was a game where the Seahawks controlled the ball for almost 38 minutes. Charbonnet and Walker combined for 33 for 171, and the Seahawks have not been a great running team this year. So that was a game where they just dominated. They were able to get to the edges in the run game, which was a big problem in that game. That is more of a tactical thing that can be corrected. But overall, I thought on both sides of the ball that they were just physically handled. And normally when that happens, normally, guys, it doesn't happen again in a short period of time. But, you know, I'm certainly not making a prediction, but normally it doesn't happen again like that.
Especially when you get Big 71 back as your left tackle. And I was looking at my notes, yeah. Greg, in anticipation of your tremendous appearance. They had three first downs in the first half. And
yeah.
You get Trent back. How much does that help you to at least maybe try to get some of that outside zone going?
Well, it expands your run game, because obviously without Trent Williams, there are certain things I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan is not comfortable calling, particularly against a defense the caliber of the Seahawks. I mean, that was a game, guys, where they ran 42 offensive plays in the entire game. I mean, that is unheard of in an NFL game. I can't think back, obviously, to every game in the Kyle Shanahan era, but I would bet that 42 offensive plays would be really close, if not the fewest offensive snaps that a Kyle Shanahan offense has run. Now, there's multiple reasons for that. Some have to do with the way their defense played, but 42 snaps is not going to get it done, because one thing about Kyle Shanahan, which I think is one reason he's so, so good, is he's a full game offensive coach. In other words, he's not just looking for the one big play where he says, oh, this is a cool play, let's run this. Now, that happens every once in a while. Obviously, it happened against Philly, which was the same play they ran against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Sometimes you pull one of those out of you know where, because the game feels like that. But that's not foundationally how he plays. He plays to sort of work through a game and see how a defense reacts to what he does. And when you only run 42 plays, it's very, very hard to do that.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Before we go further and deeper into the Seattle matchup, can we unpack a little bit what happened
Sure. Against
Philadelphia? And specifically, maybe one that will come into play next week. But I would love to know what you saw on tape after George Kittle left. What did they do with Juszczyk and Tonjes to try to kind of make up for that?
My sense was, and I was looking at Juszczyk pretty specifically, they did a lot of the same things that they normally do with Juszczyk. There might have been a few snaps where he was split outside, and maybe he wouldn't have been if Kittle was there. That's something you'll never know. You know, that's one of those cause and effect things, because if you see him do something that's maybe slightly different, the automatic assumption is, well, they're doing it because Kittle's not there. You don't really know the answer to that question, obviously. But I didn't think that they did anything dramatically different with Juszczyk based on what they normally do. You know, so, and you know, as far as the tight ends, look, I thought that the touchdown that turned out to be the winning touchdown in the game, which was the McCaffrey 4-yard touchdown reception, McCaffrey was obviously not the primary receiver on that play. You could make the argument that that play was put in and it was with Kittle in mind, because the tight end, I think it was Tongas on that play, you know, he ran a route across the back of the end zone. And I think that that was, even if he wasn't the primary, I think there was a sense that that could be the throw with that route concept. So, you know, again, I think the issue with Kittle being out could be more of a factor in the run game than the pass game. And obviously, even though Kittle's a really good receiver, I don't think that Kyle Shanahan is going to pull back the concepts that he runs in the pass game, because you're playing against a really good defense. You can't go into this game with the idea that we're going to limit what we do on offense. And he has a week to figure all this out. So it's not as if, you know, this just happened and now he's got to try to figure out in the middle of a game.
Looking at McCaffrey on the game-winning touchdown, he comes out late and he sees the coverage is kind of shading him toward the boundary side. What did you see from Purdy and McCaffrey on that play that kind of bodes well for the Niners going forward?
Well, it wasn't what McCaffrey saw. That was the play design. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what they were trying to get done. I mean, you're dealing with a specific concept. So if you look at the play, you know, you'll notice that when Purdy takes the snap, he is looking to his right. McCaffrey was not the primary receiver. They were running a route concept to the right side. You know, Bourne goes in motion. Everything works to the right. And it's actually Tongas who is the receiver. You know, they're working, in a sense, kind of what we call a smash concept. They're just getting to it in a different way. I think ultimately what he's looking for is Tongas on the crosser behind Robinson and Jennings. And he doesn't feel like that's there. And plus, he does get pressure because, believe it or not, Williams sort of got beat by Smith on this play. And so Purdy had to move. And then when he moved, he looked back the other way because he had to move. And McCaffrey worked through the line of scrimmage on his route. And then he just worked back inside, kind of a pivot route back inside, which had all been cleared out. So McCaffrey was not the primary receiver on this play. Again, without knowing 100%, I think ultimately Tongas was the primary receiver, but he wasn't able to get to that because of the pressure. So he had to move.
Greg, I wish everybody, because there are many, but a lot of people are listening to this on radio, I wish everybody could be on YouTube and watch you like do that answer while also leaning back in your chair and then looking up at the video replay of what you're talking about. What do you have in there? Like, how many screens? You got a little clicker that makes things stop and go.
Well,
what do you got?
I've got one screen, but I have, you know, I have a clicker, obviously. So you can, you know, again, you know, having a clicker makes a lot of people think, and I try not to fall into this category, guys, just so you know, having a clicker makes people think that they're really smarter than they are and they know more. And I try not to fall into that category because all this stuff happens really, really fast. You know, so when I use my clicker, I'm thinking more in terms of schematics and tactics and not, oh, he should have done this. Look at that. He should have thrown it there. I try not to get caught up in that because you'd have to know how guys are coached. You have to know what they're asked to do. You know, when I watch plays over and over, I'm thinking more in terms of the tactics and the schematics.
Greg, I don't think it makes you smarter, even though you are very smart. I just think it makes you fancy.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah. If that's a compliment, I appreciate it.
It is. You got a fancy setup over there, but at NFL Films,
you know, the thing
should.
is, You know, I learned this a long time ago from, I think it might have been Ron Jaworski, who I worked with for years and years. And he said something to me, oh, this goes back forever. And, you know, he said something that's always resonated. He said, everybody's a genius when they have access to the results. And I try not to think of things that way. I try to think about the process. Because, you know, it's easy when you see something either good or bad to decide exactly, you know, like I said, then you know what happened and you can easily comment on it. You know, that's easy. You know, I try not to fall into that.
Greg, I don't know if Ricky Pearsall is playing, but it certainly feels like it's trending in that direction. Right. And I can tell you that a big narrative around these parts after the last Seattle game was that the Niner receivers had a very hard time with separation, and
yep.
Ricky would have helped that. Do you agree? How would that change the Niners wide receiver structure in your mind?
Well, I think that Ricky Pearsall is their best receiver in terms of winning one-on-one. So I think that that's a big deal. You know, anytime you have a receiver that can win one-on-one, that's important. And you know, it's obviously a very schemed offense. There were some plays in the game against Philly, quite frankly, that I was surprised that I don't want to say Philly let happen. They didn't let anything happen. But I mean that long completion to Jennings, which was just your classic Purdy to Jennings in-breaking route play. You know, in some ways, I didn't expect to see that against a Vic Fangio defense because they run that all the time. It was just, I think Tom Brady even said during the telecast that was an A-plus throw, and it was an A-plus throw. And that's what the 49ers are in the pass game, and that's what Purdy is when he's playing well. You know, when you have a receiver that can win one-on-one, there's always times in a game when that's necessary. And I think having Ricky Pearsall back, and again, I'm not sitting here saying he's going to go 6 for 120. I'm just saying that he adds a dimension to their offense and their pass game that if you don't have, just makes it more difficult against a very good defense.
The Niners played a mostly clean game, just one penalty against Philly. They did have the two interceptions. When you look at those plays, and I'm not asking you to lean back and swivel, although the YouTube audience would love to watch you watching it, what did you make of those throws, and how much was the wind a factor?
That's why it didn't look like a big factor at all, to be honest with you. But, I, you know, again, I'm not on the field throwing the ball, so I really can't answer that question. I remember the second interception really well, and that was tough because I think he was throwing it to Tongas, if
yes,
I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And, you know, the way that defense played out, it was Mitchell who ended up playing him, and you're throwing a crossing route to a receiver versus a DB who's faster. So it's just hard. You know, that's a tough deal. I understood why he made the throw, but I think that's just a hard throw. The second one, the first one, now I remember the first one. The first one was a case where they got exactly what they wanted, okay? Because they got the inbreaker, I believe, off run action, if I'm not mistaken. They got the inbreaker off run action, and it was Jennings who was wide open.
Yep.
On the throw, but I think what happened, and again, I'm not in Purdy's head, but there was inside pressure, and I think it was by Jordan Davis who shoved back maybe Brendel, if memory serves me correctly, who shoved him right back into the pocket, and my guess is, without knowing for sure, that Purdy just did not feel comfortable turning it loose, that it just squeezed him so much that, you know, he didn't feel like he could make the throw, and so then he came to a secondary receiver, and he was late, and it just obviously turned out poorly. But in terms of the concept of the play, they got exactly what they wanted.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films with us. Let's talk Sam Darnold a little bit. I know what a fan will say. Oh, you know, the big moments at the end of the year, he's seeing ghosts, and it doesn't go well for him. But I wonder what your breakdown actually of him, specifically with the Seahawks this year,
right.
And kind of what he does well, where he struggles, is the 49er defense equipped to do something about it?
Well, the key thing with Darnold is you have to be able to speed up his process and get pressure on him. And as you guys know, that has certainly been an issue for the 49ers. They weren't able even to get pressure on Jalen Hurts last week, even though they won the game. I don't know if they have the fewest sacks in the league, but they're certainly at the bottom or close to the bottom. They don't really put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. You know, Darnold, when he's clean, and I know you could say that about a lot of guys, it's like saying anybody can catch the good hops in baseball. But the point is, when he's clean, you know, he's very, very efficient, and he can make every throw within the context of what they ask him to do. They work the middle of the field really well. He works outside the numbers really well. He throws a beautiful ball. He's big. He's physical. There's a presence about him in the pocket. But when you, if you can speed him up, his mental process seems not to work quite as well, and then he makes throws that ideally he shouldn't make. So the big question is, can they do that? You know, it's very difficult. I thought Darnold, even though the numbers weren't anywhere near his best of the season, guys, I thought against the Niners in that Week 18 game, he played one of his best games of the year, given the nature of that game. You know, the key, and you'll hear someone like Tom Brady, who I think is tremendous doing games, by the way, you learn something every time he does a game. I think that, you know, he always talks about playing the game the way that game plays out, which doesn't mean you have to, you know, go 30 for 40 for 380 yards. And I thought in that Week 18 game, given the low-scoring nature of the game, given the way the Seahawks were controlling both lines and controlling the ball, as I said, for close to 38 minutes, I thought he played that game really efficiently. And, you know, maybe this game plays out differently. Maybe the Niners are able to get some points on the board. Maybe they're able to go up 14-6, and all of a sudden the game's different. But I think Darnold, for the most part, and I know everybody worries about the turnovers, and maybe there are some out there that are just saying, oh, we're just waiting for the game where Darnold turns it over and becomes Sam Darnold. You know, I know there's always going to be people like that, but for the most part, he's played well this year. Sure, does he at times have a propensity to turn it over, and there's reasons for that. But if he's clean, he's going to make throws.
Niners are dead last in sacks with 20 in the regular season, Greg.
And right.
They don't pressure the quarterback often. They don't they don't blitz often either. But when they do blitz, how susceptible is Darnold to some of the things we've seen lately from Saleh, which is, you know, show eight at the line and then drop a couple, kind of that zone blitz concept?
Well, yeah. I mean, with Darnold and with the offense in general, you know, because it's not only the quarterback, what you're trying to do is create some kind of hesitation in pass protection or some kind of way to break down the protection, because pretty much every defensive coordinator knows how an offense will pass protect based on how they line up their front. I mean, you know, this is what guys do. I mean, I can watch tape, and I do this on the matchup show all the time, where I do defensive pressure pieces, and you know how an offense is protecting, and you know how a defense is going to break down that protection, and sometimes they get a free hitter, or sometimes they get the one-on-one matchup that they feel very good about. Maybe it's a blitzing linebacker on a back. So everybody knows how offenses protect. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to break down that protection. Now, the question is, with the Niners, do they have an individual on their defensive front who can win one-on-one if they can get a good matchup? That remains to be seen, guys, and I think you would agree with that.
Yeah.
So the question is, then the other part of that is, can you create a situation where maybe you're dropping people out that Sam Darnold doesn't expect to be dropping out? You know, what they call rat defenders very often, that you drop them out in underneath coverage, and maybe he doesn't anticipate that, and he throws the ball right to, you know, maybe it's a D tackle, maybe it's a linebacker that was up on the ball, and then he drops out. You know, that's what you're hoping to do, to cause that situation where, you know, he throws the ball and it's like, oh, I didn't expect that guy to be there. That's the other element of pressure that is not a function of sacking him or hitting him.
Greg, let's talk about the Niner linebacking core. And I know this is a small sample, but what did you see last week from Eric Kendricks and Garrett Wallow, and how it compares to what D. Winters and Tatum Bethune were doing?
Well, I'm not going to compare. I'm going to say both those guys I thought played well. I thought that they were aggressive. I thought they saw things well. You know, I, again, it's hard to make an exact comparison. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, there was no drop-off, or they played well. Don't forget, these guys, you know, they haven't played. I mean, Kendricks, what did he just get there a couple of weeks ago?
Yep.
And while I don't know, because I don't watch special teams, I don't know if he's been there all year, but
no,
I thought he played well, too.
Not. Yeah, he was with the Broncos earlier this year.
The other player I thought played really well was Siegel, when he had to come in for Brown, and he's going to play this week, because Brown's not going to play. And don't forget, he played you know, he was a starter early in the season. I don't know what happened, you know, as to why. Yeah, maybe they just felt once Mustafa came back that Mustafa and Brown were the two better safeties. But I thought Siegel flashed throughout the game with his aggressiveness, especially in the run game. So, you know, I thought, you know, yeah, he showed great range, I thought. I mean, I thought he really showed up on tape.
How big of an advantage is it for the 49ers with the bend but don't break defense inside the red zone against Seattle, where they're 22nd in red zone percentage? They don't seem to do that well when you get especially in the lower red zone.
Yeah, and you know, one of those reasons is, yeah, I know Charbonnet has been Seattle's guy as far as running the ball in the low red zone, but between the 10 and the 20, it's a little different factor. That's the high red zone, as we call it. You know, that's where normally the pass game has to become a bigger factor. And we'll see. I believe their tight end Arroyo is supposed to be back this week, if what I read is correct. You know, I think he's... Now, he hasn't played, and he's a rookie, so I don't know what that means, but he's a guy that has more juice than any of their other tight ends. So does he become a factor situationally? Obviously, he's not going to play 60 snaps, but maybe he's a factor situationally. So we'll find out. But yeah, Seattle's not a great, you know, sort of high red zone offense. They weren't good in the red zone against the Niners in the Week 18 game. So we'll see, you know. To me, much of this comes down, guys, to the Niners' ability on offense to control the pace and tempo. Now, does that mean score 30 points? It doesn't necessarily have to mean that, but they're an offense that is a four-quarter offense. They need to run plays, and obviously that did not happen Week 18. And you almost felt that, or I did anyway. I don't know what you guys felt. I felt that watching on TV that the game was getting away from them early.
Yes.
In terms of how the game was being played. You know, yeah, you could sit there and say that, oh, gee, they were still in the game because of the score, but it never felt like 49er football. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they were dominated in that game. Yeah, it was. Yeah. They were behind it the whole time.
Yeah, they, again, and it wasn't even the score as much as just, like I said, the way the game was being played.
Yep.
So to me, they've got, and I don't want to sound stupidly cliched because this stuff's always easy to say, but I think their run game, they don't need to rush for 150 yards, but there needs to be somewhat of a sustaining element, you know, to the point where, you know, Kyle can build off his plays as opposed to being caught in third and longs where your playbook is really shrunk.
Greg, I've listened to every single word that you've said, and it sounds to me like you're saying Niners by four.
I thought I was saying Niners by 40.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, there, lock that in.
Yep.
Cosell says, yeah, Niners in a blowout. Greg, that was a great way to finish. Thank you so much.
I love you guys. I love talking with you guys every week. Thanks so much.
All right, Greg.
We feel the same. All right, there he goes. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, Niners in a blowout. This one will be easy. Can't wait to talk about the NFC title game. This one is a wash. Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Steve Kerr is just over an hour away. But we'll get back to your phone calls, and specifically, we need to have a conversation about Fred Warner and George Kittle. Those two guys meaning something different than everybody else right now, and we'll do that coming up next. 888-957-9570, that's the number, especially you under 40-year-old Niner fans. How does this playoff run feel different if you've never really experienced a 49er Super Bowl before? This is Willard and Dibbs.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
I love you guys. I love talking with you guys every week.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Greg's just a big, what a warm fuzzy.
Yeah.
Greg Cosell.
He enjoys it.
People think he's a robot. He's the opposite.
I totally love you guys.
Yeah. It's great.
You know what I mean? Some people live their whole damn childhood without being told that somebody loves them. Which sucks,
yeah, you're
by
looking
the way.
At a guy, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, like there wasn't maybe an aunt or an uncle or...
Every now and again, but okay. You know what love was in my house? It was you shutting your mouth and me working 60 hours a week. That's love.
I love you guys.
You like dinner? Yeah. Finish your dinner and shut your
guys.
Mouth. That was love in my household.
Like, was it... Are you embellishing at all?
A little bit, but
finish
like
your
my
dinner
mom,
and shut your mouth.
Mom would give you a hug and
yeah.
and all that, but like, nah, the old man, not very touchy or feely. Like, love was me working my ass off and you staying out of trouble. That's what love was.
I get it.
And his upbringing was a lot worse.
Well, that's how it goes.
Right. His upbringing was him getting cuffed around and moving in with his estranged dad in Inglewood.
Oh, geez.
As a 16-year-old, and then moving home and living with the principal of his high school, and then enlisting in the military. And, you know, his story goes on and on and on. My dad was one of the OGs.
Let me look at you in the eye. I love you, Dan.
Thanks, Mark. Let's go to the phones.
Oh, man.
I love you guys.
No, the reaction, though, from my childhood is, I mean, I... Hugs and love and all that. So I'm like way on the other extreme because I knew growing up that that's what I didn't have. That's what I wanted. So.
Oh, no, I can tell that.
Yeah.
I can tell that young Myla is. Well, she's going to be spoiled.
It's yeah. Already
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she's going to be spoiled.
And my first two
spoiled.
Kids, what's his name and the other guy?
What's his nuts?
Love those guys. Love those kids. Talked to one of them on the walk over today.
Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All right, hey, what about this? And we will go back to the phones, 888-957-9570. We're kind of talking about a little bit of a special invitation and shout-out to any Niner fan, and this is loose. Like, it doesn't mean like, oh, darn it, I turned 40 last week.
Right.
Now I can't call. But, like, if you haven't turned 40 yet, that's kind of the marker we put of, like, you either have never seen the 49ers win a Super Bowl, or when you did, you were just a little pup. And so these playoff runs feel different, and they do. Like, it's only one game that they've won, but it does feel a little 2010 Giants-ish to me because they were underdogs every round. I know people will say, and like Lucas said this earlier, he goes, you know, that 2010 Giants team, they were a dog of a pitching staff. I mean, Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain and this kid, Mad Bum, who nobody knew because he was 21 years old, but he came in and he dealt. And so that's true.
Fancy. Good old Fancy.
Yeah, but hold on. Let's not act like this Niner team, even in its current form, doesn't have at least one wing of the team that's one hell of a fastball. Dude, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, and Christian McCaffrey, that's a fastball. That's a problem for defensive coordinators. That's been proven, has it not? Now, it wasn't a problem for this defensive coordinator a week and a half ago.
Or even in week one.
Right. I mean,
I can give you the drive stats if you want for the 17 drives that the Niners have had against Seattle.
I remember them. Are you talking about that day or
week
both?
One and week 18?
How many three and outs? That's what I want to know.
In 17 drives, they have 4 three and outs. They have 6 punts. They've thrown 3 picks. They have 2 Jake Moody misses.
Yep.
They have 2 times where they turned it over on downs. They've made 2 field goals, and they've scored 2 touchdowns in 17 drives.
Let's focus on the three and outs for a second.
Okay.
Of those 4, how many were a week and a half ago?
The opening drive, when after they got the ball back, 3 and out, and then they went 3 plays and scored. You're down 7-0, and already your defense had been on the field the entire first quarter. You get the ball back, 3 and out.
3 and out.
And then they go down, they miss a field goal. Then you go 6 plays, you turn it over on downs. You finally get points on the board. Your only points before the half. You went 8 plays, 30 yards was your drive.
That was your drive.
Quote, unquote. And you go down into the half, you're down. Then you come out and you go punt, pick downs.
Any three and outs in the second half?
Yes, your second possession, 3 plays, 9 yards.
So 3 of the 4 were in the second game, the loss.
Right. Okay. But even at that, the thing that's so frustrating is the one drive you had, 7 plays, 64 yards, it ended with the McCaffrey bobble pick.
With the bobble pick, yeah. So here's the reason I asked that question. To me, that's what we're talking about this Saturday. That's the thing. I'm not asking for a Purdy 30. I mean, it'd be great. I'm not asking for, boy, you better be turnover free. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I know this is going to be a slog. You can't do 3 3 and outs. That is what killed that game. That's what Greg Cosell was talking about.
Yep.
42 plays. And the time of possession battle dominated by Seattle. That's the whole deal, what I'm looking for on Saturday. You're not going to score on every drive. This defense is phenomenal, but you have got to hold the ball for a second. You have got to get a first down or two just about every time that you get the ball, and at least flip the field, because where drives start now, I know it didn't because the Seattle Seahawks went for it on fourth down. I know the Niners' first drive was like inside their own 10-yard line.
Yep.
But often, these drives are all starting out at the 30 and 35-yard line. Dude, you get one first down, you're punting them down to their own 10. That's huge in a game like this, because Seattle is not – Darnold and their run game, they're not dynamic. They have one dynamic player on offense. His name is Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Now, they sure look dynamic in Week 18.
They did.
Because you couldn't tackle.
Because you couldn't tackle.
To
them.
Your point, Week 1 – you come out and you hold, they punt, and I think it was a classic Sky Moore fair catch arena with the 5. All right, Brock Purdy, welcome to the season. You come out and you go 14 plays, 95 yards for the touchdown.
Daddy.
And you know what the big plays were made by? Ricky Pearsall.
Uh-huh.
He caught a 26-yarder. He caught a 13-yarder. I'm looking at my notes. And
then George Kittle.
Kittle from 5. Purdy with a scramble on 2nd and 14, but you went 95 yards down the field, you scored a touchdown. To your point, complimentary football. You had the ball forever, and you scored a touchdown. And then the second time you played him, you finally get it punt. You finally get it back punt. And then you turn it over on downs after getting 24 yards on 6 plays. You had no Uncle Mo, which you've got to have to protect this overmatched defense.
Yep. All right, 888-957-9570. I want to get to the Fred and George thing, but Steven in the city has been super patient and wants to weigh in on this whole idea of kind of the Niners being the big dogs of the playoffs and the vibe of it if you haven't seen them win before. Hey, Steven, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. First time caller, everyday listener. I love the show.
Thank you.
I've been listening ever since Joe Lowe and Dibs. That's when I first started listening to the game and Dibs. I've been, I'm a big fan. You make me laugh. I love all the shows. I was born in 79 in Alameda amongst a whole lot of Raider fans.
The Mita.
And I was born on January. I was born, the island, baby. I'm an Islander. You know, I was born on January 24th. So the Niners were always on the TV, you know, as I was growing up. And, you know, I loved it. You know, I loved them. I love Joe Montana. I love watching. I love their uniforms. And I've been a fan ever since. I just want to say three things about how I feel about this upcoming game. I think there were three plays in the Seattle game that if they would have went our way, we could be having a whole different conversation. And Seattle could be coming to Levi Stadium this weekend. It was the dropped interception. It was the dropped interception. It was the McCaffrey, he bobbled it. Yep. And then the interception. And then the 3rd and 17, when Kenneth Walker got that first down. I mean, and I'll tell you, when I was watching the Eagles game last weekend. I forgot to tell you guys, I'm delivering packages here in San Francisco. I work for UPS.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Whose house are you at right now, Stephen?
I'm at Knob Hill Hardware. Shout out to Knob Hill Hardware on California and High Street.
Okay, perfect.
The street from Trader Joe's. Hey, but that, you know, I was sitting watching that Eagles game, and, you know, they had 3rd and 15, and they picked up 14 yards on third down and then got the first down on that fourth down run. And this was during the first half, and I'm thinking, you know, if we can't stop these guys on third down, you know, this game's going to be over.
No.
You know, in the first half, I felt like the game was over, and then it turned during the second half. But, yeah, that's all I got, guys. You know, thanks for taking my call, and a big fan.
Hey, Steven, thanks. Before you go, real quick, do you remember your third birthday?
My third birthday?
Yeah.
No, I do not. I don't remember the very first one, though.
Okay. I just wanted to know because the 49ers won the Super Bowl on your third birthday. Steven and I share a birthday. Thank you, Steven, for calling in. We share a birthday. He is 4 years younger than me.
Right, because you were seven when they won the bowl.
Seventh birthday,
on your birthday.
Was the Niners 26-21 over the Bengals.
Yeah.
And it was Steven's third birthday.
Also, Tatiana Ali's birthday, as Google would tell me.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Atlee Hammaker, January 24th.
Look at you.
Yeah.
The great lefty who got absolutely lit up in the All-Star game a lifetime ago.
Fred Lynn, swing and a drive.
A little slam there.
He was never the same again.
He's not wrong about the three big plays and... That big conversion was part of a 16-play drive that gave the Eagles the lead, and at that point I was like, oh boy, this defense, they can't stop a nosebleed with a tourniquet.
He's not wrong, but the Seahawks could say the same thing. Let me put it that way, right? Like, they missed two field goals. They moved the ball all the way down to first and goal inside the 10 on their opening drive. They decided, and this is their fault, but they decided to go for it, should have kicked a field goal there. They left a bunch of points on the board. I am not going to sit here and say that the Niners could have or should have won that football game against Seattle 2 weeks ago.
You're right.
They were beaten. They were thoroughly outplayed. But boy, did y'all hear the little clue that Greg Cosell gave? The little ray of hope that Greg Cosell gave in his breakdown? Did you hear it?
Talk to me.
I will. I'm going to do this first, though. First thing I'm going to say is you are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.